We see the fruits of good soil and earth and bounty and the labor of farmers' hands on our table. Now, has anyone ever flown into the Regina airport by any chance? A few of you. And if it's summer, do you remember how bales of hay come right up to the runway? They don't fool around there. There's not an ounce of wasted land. And when your friends pick you up and you drive out of the airport, you're greeted by 1,000 smiling faces of sunflowers. Have any of you seen that in the summer? Yeah, they're just there, the fields just, and the sunflowers, it's all for you, of course, a stranger visiting and these lovely sunflowers. Which, of course, reminds me of a poem by Mary Oliver. If you're not familiar with Mary Oliver's work, she writes about creation, radical amazement, as we say in theological language. And she writes about us coming to terms with being creatures and taking our place in the order of things. Her poems are beautiful. She has many volumes, but I'll read you one called The Sunflowers. Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished discs. Their dry spines creak like ship masts. Their green leaves, so heavy and many, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy, but want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen. And all those rows of seeds, each one a new life, hope for a deeper acquaintance. Each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many, like a separate universe, is lonely. The long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth so uprightly burning. There's a line in there that captured my fancy as we turn to Thanksgiving. The long work of making our lives a celebration is not always easy. So we come to give thanks in good times and hard times. Some of you are in hard times, some of you are in good times, some of us are in between. Perhaps all of us have some place in us still longing to be filled, longing to be completed. And others of us are stretching to keep the commitments to what we have that is good, holding on to what is good. We all come both knowing that it can be easy to give thanks, and sometimes we have to dig deep. It becomes a discipline. In fact, in my lovely Guatemala holder, where I like to keep my notes, I keep a clipping by Henry Nouwen. It's called The Discipline of Gratitude. Gratitude is not a simple emotion or an obvious attitude. It is a difficult discipline to constantly reclaim my whole past as the concrete way in which God has led me to this moment and is sending me into the future. It is hard precisely because it challenges me to face the painful moments, experiences of rejection and abandonment, feelings of loss and failure, and gradually to discover in them the pruning hands of God, preparing me for deeper love, stronger hope, and broader faith. I won't go into the whole reading, but it ends with saying that I'm gradually learning the call to gratitude asks us to say everything is grace. My yoga teacher tells the story about a farmer whose farm bordered the barbarian country. The farmer prized his horse, but the horse ran away one day. The farmer continued to pray and give thanks. Then the horse met up with a wild horse and brought the wild horse back, and they mated and produced a wonderful new breed of horse, and the farmer continued to pray and give thanks. Then the farmer's favorite son got on that horse before he really learned to ride and rode bareback and fell off and broke his hip. And the farmer continued to pray and give thanks. And then the barbarians started to come, and all the sons of the village had to go to war, and many didn't come back. But the farmer's favorite son could not go to war, and the farmer continued to pray and give thanks. And you can see how the story goes. Sometimes it's a pain, sometimes it's a blessing, and we're caught, though. What we're called to do is to keep giving thanks for the sheer miracle of us in the nature of things. Sometimes finding our place in the nature of things is a bit more challenging. The scriptures today are all about Jesus wandering in nature and asking us to consider the birds of the air and be instructed by the lilies in the field, who enjoy simply being. Is it easy to be a lily? Here's what Mary Oliver has to say. I have been thinking about living like the lilies that blow in the fields. They rise and fall in the wedge of the wind and have no shelter from the tongues of the cattle and have no closets or cupboards full of stuff and no legs. Still, I would like to be as wonderful as that old idea of living simply. But if I were a lily, I think I would wait all day for the green face of the hummingbird to touch me. What I mean is, could I forget myself, even in those feathery fields? When Van Gogh preached to the poor, of course he wanted to save someone, most of all himself. He wasn't a lily, and wandering through the bright fields only gave him more ideas it would take his life to solve. Living simply is what we're called to do, but perhaps thinking simply is not. We're called to take on the consciousness of what it takes to preserve and save this earth we've been given. Thanksgiving. We come to Thanksgiving. Here we are, a traditional time to be with our families, to give thanks. And again, it's not always easy to do. In the long march of family traditions, some of you have morphed into new families. Other families have moved away. Some live at long distance. Some are you creating new families. That's why we have Dr. Mike talking to us on the CBC radio show, right? On Thanksgiving mornings. Anyone catch him this morning? Yes, us with the CBC habit. He's very good. Mike Evans, professor of family and community medicine at U of T, does special stuff at St. Mike's. And here is his diagnosis of what is the worst indicator for our health and what he sees too often. It's isolation. He said isolation is the worst indicator for bad health. So is going to even a troubled relationship or family dinner better than isolation? Yes, he says. You're still in the game. You're still in the game. You have a chance to bring that inner coach instead of that inner critic. You have a chance this time to know that there'll be those old triggers that brings out that child reflex, right? This time, we can go and practice our skills and know there'll always be something. And yet, we're meant to be like sunflowers in a field, in a crowd, finding our place with the multitudes. Good for the Dr. Mikes. It helps with that coaching. Now, if it's not the family dinners that give you pause, perhaps it's the fact that you're missing family at all, any kind of family. And we're wondering, gosh, look at that life over there. Isn't that the picture-perfect family or relationship? Well, Ralph Wischke had us laughing last week at Emmanuel College. Do you remember that? Ralph and Paul Stott, actually, had been to see the movie The Joneses at the TIFF. The Joneses is the story about a perfect, picture-perfect family who moves into a neighborhood. Oh, boy. Mom is slim and trim and cooking organic turkeys and never hurried and never flustered, and she's still an artist and maybe a professor as well. and Dad is successful and smiling, and there's a boy and a girl and a perfect pet, and the house is kept nicely, and they're even nice people, and they give to the neighborhood, and they have accomplishments, and it's driving the neighbors crazy. They look at themselves with doubt. They think, how can we keep up to the Joneses? Shouldn't we somehow be better people, accomplishing more? Look at what they're pulling off. The movie continues as the various neighbors go into the sagas of their own lives. And then, the big revelation. The family is a sales unit. That's right, a sales unit. It's not a real family at all. It's a sales unit. They're all there individually. They have commissions to sell products related to the happiness that, in fact, they're portraying. They have weekly sales meetings. And at the end of it all, the unit is dispersed and they leave. I haven't seen the movie, but I think you get the concept. He plays out that fantasy we have of that picture-perfect family and how our own life may look a bit wanting as we cobble together our Thanksgiving weekend or find our community of support or endure or celebrate or somewhere in between the family gatherings. And now Jesus comes in and our scriptures challenge us to say, you know, we don't have to obsessively worry about all that stuff. The sunflowers know they are sunflowers in a field of 1,000 sunflowers, each in their own universe, and yet they need the others, or it wouldn't be a host of sunflowers. But they probably don't compare each other to themselves. Jesus says, don't obsessively worry if your life measures up or shapes up or could have been or should have been or is missing a little bit of something. Today, like the birds in the air, enjoy some freedom, and like the lilies of the field, enjoy some of the beauty that you feast upon, perhaps just caught randomly, or perhaps the pumpkin that you may take home from the table today to cut up and make pie with. But today, don't be anxious. Focus and cherish what you have, and more will come. Third reading from Mary Oliver, and she talks about her space being totally changed by the sheer random beauty of ordinary things. It's called goldenrod. On roadsides, in fall fields, in rumpy bunches, saffron and orange and pale gold, in little towers, soft as mash, sneeze bringers and seed bearers, full of bees and yellow beads and perfect flowerettes and orange butterflies. I don't suppose much notice comes of it except for honey and how it heartens the heart with its blank blaze. I don't suppose anything loves it except perhaps the rocky voids filled by its dumb dazzle. For myself, I was just passing by. When the wind flared and the blossoms rustled and the glittering pandemonium leaned on me, I was just minding my own business. When I found myself on their straw hillsides, citron and butter-colored, and was happy, and why not? Are not the difficult labors of our lives full of dull hours? And what has consciousness come to anyway so far that is better than these light-filled bodies? All day, on their airy backbones, they toss in the wind. They bend as though it was natural and godly to bend. They rise in a stiff sweetness, in the pure peace of giving one's gold away. However, you're called to give your gold away is the perfect offering. And however you're spending that most precious currency of your time is the perfect offering. Amidst all this talk about not being obsessively anxious or worrying or comparing ourselves or wondering if we'll ever get that certain something comes the reading from Joel, which throws a monkey wrench into all this. The reading starts off with God saying, "Fear not, O soil, Fear not, O soil, the Lord is doing great things. And then the psalmist reassures the animals, fear not, O animals, you will be restored. Well, excuse me, the soil is not to fear these days as we pave it over, as chemicals pour forth, and as we lag and drag our way to Copenhagen. You knew, of course, that we'd come to this. And as we celebrate the radical beauty of creation, and we wonder how we can give, perhaps the best is to find our place in the simple form of living, come to grips with the tough choices, and demand the same of our country. Young ambassadors will be going to these conferences. We're involved in supporting them. You have a chance to do the same thing. Later this week, Lauren Draney, do you remember her speaking at the Eco Festival? Lauren Draney will be bringing some people from the small islands of the Pacific to tell us about how they're already drowning in this climate change that's coming upon us. You'll have a chance to listen to her and find ways to support these ambassadors in the turning of our times, the great turning demanding of us to uphold and cherish the great gift of our home, this planet God has given. It's simple but not simple. We're called to this. Our lives are natural yet not natural. We're given consciousness to grapple with. But it comes to this as we pledge to share and commit ourselves to preserving this planet and stretching each other to make the tough commitments, we find that elusive joy and happiness in pouring ourselves out for a purpose. And that is the essence of giving that fills us. So perhaps with poetry and music and flowers and fruit and the humor we had today, the long history of this church given by our own Mary Lou, your smiling faces like the sunflower seeds in my beloved Saskatchewan, we say thanks. Thanks for all of it, even for what's not yet to come. And we trust in the turning of this season and God being with us. Thanks be to God.